chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Today, look at, well, we call this, just think about it. Acts chapter 2. Somebody was asking me a question this week about repentance, and I was thinking about this section here in Acts chapter 2. We're just going to read the last little bit of it. There's a very important truth here, but which has bearing on not just the new birth, but later on as we walk with God. This is when Peter was sharing wonderful teaching on in Acts chapter 2 after the outpouring of Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Then we get down to, we're not going to read the whole section. We'll start in verse, Okay, 32. Is this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses? He talked to them about the resurrection. And therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he, Jesus Christ, hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. He received Holy Spirit from God, and shed it forth on the day of Pentecost. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith unto himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, What shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent. There's our word. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises unto you, and so forth. So when they asked him what to do, it says that they were pricked in their heart. Heart is another word for what? The mind.
Right.
Okay, so something impacted their mind, and they asked Peter, what can we do? And he said, repent. And the word repent really means nothing more than change your mind. Okay, it's a change of mind. Up to this time, they were of one way of thinking, and now he tells them, change your mind. Repent. So when they do this, let's see. I want to go back to the first time in your life you got born again. At some point in your life, you decided that you were going to change your mind. Because you had a way of thinking before you got born again. Whatever that way of thinking was, it was contrary to what the Bible says, if you weren't a believer. But at some point, you decide, you know what? I'm going to change my mind. That's what you did. You changed your mind. You repented. You came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, I'm going to now believe this. When you did that, and some of you may not even remember when you did that, was there a lot of fanfare? Was there music? Was there trumpets? Was there like a gala parade? No. You just changed your mind. And when you changed your mind, what happened? Well, this is where it gets really interesting. You changed your mind. That's all you did. Okay, I remember the day I got born. I remember exactly where it was. I remember exactly what I was reading. The moment, the very second I got born again. I remember that. And after I got born again, I gave myself Holy Spirit. I gave myself eternal life. No. All I did was change my mind to believe on the Lord. And guess what? Born again. Eternal life. All spiritual blessings, seated in the heavenlies, a hope that is sure and steadfast, reigning in life, all these things. And all I had to do was change my mind. I said, okay, I'll believe this. Repent. Peter says, look, you guys have been thinking, and they were pricking their heart. They wanted to know, what can we do? Where do you, what, your heart, your mind, what's wrong? He said, well, you got to change your mind. You guys are wrong. Believe this. And when they believed it, thousands saved that same day. In Romans chapter 6. Actually, go to Romans chapter 10. It says here, verse 8, but what saith that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart? That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So that's all we really did, was we confessed, and we believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And after that, all the blessings you get, then Romans 6 now, please. Romans chapter 6. Then God tells us what to do once we've done all that. This is where the New Testament is very interesting. If you read through the New Testament, carefully looking at some of the verbs and commands that God gives to you, which we'll just look at a few today, but Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized all into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So, you know, if you read Romans 1 through 5, God declares all that has been accomplished for the believer in Christ Jesus. All the starting point, if you will. All men are, you know, none righteous, no, not one, you know, and all that stuff. And God says, well, we don't need all that stuff. And here the righteousness without, you know, the works is made available through Jesus Christ. And then you get born again and talks about Adam and how he was, Jesus Christ was the second Adam and got rid of all this nonsense Adam caused. And then he tells you in this section, then finally he tells you what to do about it. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we also believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Still just telling you all this accomplished. In verse 11, then he finally tells you what you should do because of all this. Verse 11, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, I started off by saying, when someday in your life you change your mind, you repented, you decided you were now going to believe this. The results of that thinking, the list goes on and on what it brought to us. Now God says, now it's all been done, and I've done all this through Jesus Christ. He uses the word reckon here. If you look up that word, it literally means, it's a mathematical computation. Logic this out. Reason this out in your mind. Think this through. 2 + 3 = 5. If I subtract, there's that kind of logic when you do math. He says, apply it to my word. Think through what I have done for you. Think it through. You got to where you are today by thinking something different. You changed your mind. Now that you've changed your mind, I want you to change your mind again. We all know Romans 12, 2, right? The renewed mind, right? It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Just think about it. That's what he's saying. Just think about it. You know, you wonder how you grow in life, how you grow as a believer. What can I, you know, we're always looking for things to do. Well, one of the things we can do is think about what he has done. That's what he said. He goes, just think about it. Now, logic this out. This is what I've done for you in Christ. Now, this is what you have. Think about it. You know, you ever wonder how you want to get healed of something? Did you ever just sit down for half an hour, maybe an hour, and you were sharing about this man who did it for 6 months, and just think about what you've got, think about what you should have because of what Jesus Christ accomplished, and think about what that means to you and what you should be able to receive in your life because of it, and just consciously taking the time to think about it and think about it and think about it to the point where you convince yourself. Because what do you do when you think about it? You convince yourself it's true. You know, and this would be really foolish if this was some kind of mind trick. because they exist, right? They have these people out there, these self-help courses, and, you know, look at this and pretend you're a piece of wood or something, you know, or a stone or something. And, well, that stuff doesn't work because God's power is not behind it. This works because God is the one who's telling you to think this way, and he backs up what he is saying. It's not some psychiatrist or some mind gameologist, right? It's his power is behind what he's asking you to think. And he's saying, look, I want you to think through this. Reason this out for yourself. In Philippians chapter 3. Now I'm going to show you. So there's a lot of places where this is mentioned. I mean, this is one of the things. It's not the only thing. I mean, we're told to speak much in tongues. We're told to pray and all those things. But there's so much about what God tells us to just put in our minds of what has been done. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, again, I want you to watch the verbs through this section here and some of the nouns too, how they're related to what you do in your mind. Philippians 3, 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice. Where does that happen? In the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. So keep watch out there. Beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit. Worship and rejoice. Where do you rejoice? In Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Where does a person have confidence? Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, this is where confidence comes from, it's with the way you think, that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more. Where do you trust? It's in your heart and in your mind. And then he lists the things that he was trusting in before he became a believer. He says that circumcised, the eighth day of the stock of Israel, by the tribe of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuted church, righteousness, blameless, law of stuff. But verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Where do you count things? In your mind. He had all this thing in his mind about what he was before and all he had accomplished. And then when he came to Jesus Christ, he goes, I counted them loss. Where do you do that? You do that up here in your mind. He says, all that thing, all those things that I thought were important to me, I decided at that point they were going to be loss. So he changed his mind. Not just about getting born again, but about what he trusted and had confidence in before he got born again. It was insignificant compared to what he had just learned. And he decided to do that in his mind. He counted it, but loss. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge. Where do you get knowledge? Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. All this stuff, where does this, was he going through some kind of pilgrimage to the top of some mountain somewhere and swinging from vines in the jungles and fording streams and things? No. It says when he got born again there, he went away in Damascus for a while, didn't he? He went away. What do you think he was doing? You know, I mean, for a guy like Paul, who had everything going for him, really, in terms of where he was standing as a Judean and so forth, he had all these things that he could have thought about, but he said, you know, I decided to count them. In my mind, I decided to say, okay, that was not it. This was it. Three times there, I say, he counted it. Not, verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. You see all the words over and over again, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Where do you know things? You know when he says in Romans 6 to get some of my logic this out, think this through, he did that. He thought it through, and he said, you realize, you know what? All the things that I can trust and have confidence in, They are worthless compared to my knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has accomplished for me. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not that as though I had already attained. He's not there yet. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend. All the words used in here throughout this section. Think about it. I may apprehend. That I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That I may understand how the Lord understands me. That's what he was aiming for. He was no longer aiming for to be a Pharisee of the Pharisees and righteous. He was aiming to understand all that Christ was to him and how Christ looked at him. Both ways. You know, if we're looking for things to do, think about what's been done. You know, I was talking to somebody recently about you know, people forget that your mind is a muscle. People forget they spend so much time in, you know, physical exercise because, you know, you get biceps strong and, you know, whatever, you know, bigger triceps and all the other seps that are out there. You know. But you forget your mind is a muscle. You know, disciplined ones, the ones who followed Jesus Christ, disciplined ones, people who are disciplined not just in their habits but in their thinking. You know, discipline in your thinking. If I think that my mind will just get stronger, well, why would that happen on its own? Why would that ever happen on its own? It's like sitting here saying that I'm going to be a much faster runner by never running. It's a muscle. If I want to be stronger, more disciplined in my thinking, more able to understand all that the Lord, and that's where the real energy of our minds ought to go, is to think through all that the Lord has done for us. If I want to get stronger at that, then I have to take the time to think about it. When he says reckon, he didn't just say it'll just get done. Reckon. When it says renew your mind, he didn't just say it'll get done. He said to do this. If I don't do that, then it doesn't get done. And I'm no longer, 6 months from now, I'm no more stronger in my ability to understand all that the Lord has done than I was 6 months ago. It doesn't work that way. Why should we ever think it would work that way? Now, Paul, you can see here, he had a lot to overcome. You know, Timothy says he was the chiefest of all sinners. He had a lot to overcome in his thinking. He had believers killed. I don't have to overcome that thinking. He had to overcome that thinking. That killing believers was something that was ever going to be forgiven to him by God. That he was going to get forgiveness for that. He had to overcome that. You know, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't fully understood, but this one thing I do, forget. What do you forget? Forgetting. Where do you take the conscious effort to forget those things that are no longer important to your life? You know, I remember I knew a woman years and years ago, and you know, she had a difficulty with another person. None of you people know this person, so I can say it. But you know, she was clinging on to a artifact from this other person, and this artifact kept reminding her of this person, filling her with sorrow all the time. I was saying, well, why don't you just get rid of this stupid thing? Mm-hmm. Why do you want to remind yourself of that? That's exactly forgetting. Why do you want to hold on to things that remind you of things that are no longer important or vital to your life? When really, the way Paul wrote, I love Paul writes in Galatians, he goes, I'm dead to the world, and the world is dead to me. I don't want to go there anymore. This is where I want to go. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward, onto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is where he wanted his mind to go. And then he goes, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Think this way. If you want to do the same thing, he goes, think this way. Then he also says, if you got other things that come up, in the second part of the verse, he goes, and if any other thing, ye be otherwise minded, if your mind tends to go other places, don't worry, God shall reveal even this unto you. He'll help you with that thinking, but you keep your, if you do the other way around, it doesn't work. But he said, if you're this way thinking, if the other things think about, because there are other things to think about, we know that, was God shall reveal even this to you. But first, put your mind where it needs to be. Nevertheless, verse 16, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. These guys were thinking the wrong things. Remember Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. You're not thinking the things of God. You ought to be, Peter. And if you're thinking the wrong things, get thee behind me, Satan, he said to him. And here, these guys were thinking the wrong things, and he was telling them, this is what you ought to be thinking. And these guys who were against him minded earthly things. For our conversation, 20, citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I want you guys to think this way. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. That's like a little song we sang, joy, 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 and again, joy with our heart is singing. Rejoice in the Lord always, let your moderation be known all men. The Lord is at hand. Be, in this verse, we love this verse. We always share this verse, right? Mm. Be careful for nothing. Anxious, we got Thursday, right? We're sharing this on Thursday. Be anxious for nothing. Where does anxiety come from? In your mind. Be anxious for nothing, but everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts, and your minds through Christ Jesus. Your heart, deepest part of your mind, has to be at peace, and we have the peace in Christ. We have it. And the reason, you know, God says if you have problems, things come up, you know, thanksgiving. Make your request known, and I'll keep your heart. Because if your heart and mind is messed up, nothing's going to work. It's not going to happen. Right? You're not going anywhere. Hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, so this whole idea of thinking the right thing, and again, as I mentioned, there's a power behind it because God's power is behind what he's telling you to think. You know, so if you were able, when you got born again, to think some very, very simple truths. They were not complicated, were they? and God blessed us with so much. Now he tells us, okay, now you're there. Now logic out what I've done for you. Think it through. And then time and time again, New Testament, think it through. Look at what's been done. Try to understand what I've done for you. Believe what I've done for you. You know, how else do you get healed of something? You know, like let's say, you know, you have a need for healing in a specific area. What are you going to do to get healed of that thing? What are the steps you take? You know, did you ever sit down and just think about it? What am I going to do to get healed of this thing? Well, what does the Word say to do? It says that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you already were healed. You know what you've got to do? You've got to convince yourself that that is true. Is there anything more to do? You know, when Jesus Christ, you know, healed the blind, the deaf, and the lame, and all that, you know, when he raised Tabitha is a good example, Peter and Tabitha. Was there anything Tabitha could have done? No. She was dead. Nothing to do. You know, when it comes to healing, what is it? You have to convince yourself that the Word of God is true. What does it take for me, what does it take for you to convince yourself the Word of God is true? It's different for people, different people. Well, I guarantee you, part of that process is going to involve thinking about what the Word of God says. It has to. Your brain, your mind, your thought is the seed of your actions. You don't, you do, that's why when Jesus Christ talked about adultery and all that, he goes, yeah, you may not commit adultery, but when you even thought about it, that was as badass. Because as soon as you think, your brain, your mind is the thought of your action, the seeds of your actions, right? So I guarantee you, you want to get delivered from something, I recommend sitting in a chair, comfortable chair. You know, why would you sit in a hard chair unless you're a monk, right? Never mind. If you sit in a comfortable chair.
Adirondack.
Yeah, Adirondack chair even. Abby. No. And think about what Jesus Christ has accomplished for you. Again, take 2 or 3, 4 minutes a day. Even 5 minutes. Just think quietly. Quieten yourself. Go into a quiet room and think about what Jesus Christ has accomplished for you. Pick your favorite verse. And I would challenge you to meditate on a verse for 3 minutes without your mind going somewhere else. I challenge you. Here's a challenge. You can get back to me on this. Get a timer. Time 3 minutes. And see if you can think about one thing that has been accomplished for you for the full 3 minutes without your mind being bombarded by at least 10 other thoughts. Just try it. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, after all that, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. There's a pretty good list. He doesn't just say, think about this, and well, he didn't finish the verse. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Just think about it. Think on these things. And he didn't go through, you know how you have those figure of speech where you have a list, like, you know, lust, concupiscence, and all this stuff, comma. You're supposed to quickly go over the list and then get to the end point. Here, that's not what, it's the opposite. It says, whatsoever things are true. Okay? Come up with some things that are true. Whatsoever things that are honest, whatsoever things that are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. There's a whole nice list of all the things that you can think about, and he writes by revelation. You think these things. You should think these things. If your mind strays to anything, don't worry. God will even reveal all this, and you just take your time to think these things. You know, the challenge I gave you, you try that for a week and see what happens to your thinking. And then before you realize it, you know, when you're in a situation which requires you to have the right thinking, it's a lot easier to bring your mind back to where it should be if you've taken the time to logic this out, think this through, and do all those things that Paul count, apprehend, attain onto, knowledge, think, all the things that we're encouraged to do. So, let's just think about it. It's probably a good thing to do.